This week we're going to continue in our series of Acts. Nikki did such a great job last week on talking on the end. The end of Acts 2, church as family. And this week we're going to start looking at Acts 3. So let's just jump in there. Acts 3, 1 to 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately, love that word, immediately, his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping, he stood and he began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms, and were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let me just pray. Father, just thank you for the reading of your word, and we just ask that you will teach us something from this well-known passage, and I pray that everyone here will go away with something new that you are depositing in them, in Jesus' name. Now, that was a really hard passage for me to read and stand still, because every time, I don't know if you were looking at me when I was reading it, you just saw a smile. Did you see that? Well, that's because since I knew I was doing this passage, I kept saying to people, I've always, when we've been teaching, getting taught about how to deliver a sermon, it's like, make it memorable. So I was saying to someone about, this is what I fancy doing. They're going, well, Lorraine, it will be memorable. Maybe not for the right reasons. But anyway, so I really had this thing. Every time I read it, I couldn't read it. This is the first time I've read it without singing it. Because normally, do you remember the Sunday school chorus? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I did it for the youth. I did. I'm not here to peer pressure. I know who I am. But I did it to youth when I was speaking in youth 2 weeks ago. I had actions and everything, and they thought I was cool. So there you go. That was enough. That was it. That was all I needed. Anyway, back to where we are. So, I know I've just read it, but did you notice one important thing that happened in that passage? Did you notice where the miracle took place? It wasn't in the church service, was it? It was outside the building. I believe that now is the time. Now is the time for us, Falkirk Vineyard, to get out of the building. Anyway, in our passage, it said Peter and John were going to the temple at the ninth hour, and that is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they were going to pray. When outside the temple were the gates that were given the name Beautiful, and at those gates was a paralytic man, or a man who was lame from birth, who would be placed there every single day of his life asking for alms, because he had no way of supporting himself. There's nothing he could do. He couldn't work in those days. There was no benefits. There was nothing. The only thing he could do was rely on his friends to put him at this gate called Beautiful every day asking for alms. Now, alms, for people maybe don't know, is just money or asking for food or help. In the Old Testament, people who were poor or were not from that area or were widowed, instead of begging for alms, they would go and glean from the farmer's field. And the farmers would leave a portion of their harvest in a certain place, and people would know they could go and glean from that field. Now, gleaning just means to obtain, to gather. And they were gathering over the leftover grain for food. That was their source of food. Gleaning just means to gather bit by bit. And actually, in the book of Ruth, this is how she meets her future husband. When she asks permission to glean from his field, She would just follow the grain cutters around and gather the seed and fall on the ground, because that was the way in the Old Testament God supplied these people's needs. And you can hear of other stories in Leviticus 19 and in Deuteronomy 24 if you want to pop over. In the New Testament, though, people would ask for alms. And I have got people prepped in the congregation to smile at me, to encourage me, and I just caught somebody's attention. So, well, thank you so much. You are encouraging me. Your smile is gorgeous. Okay. So it's kind of like the food banks and the storehouse of today, isn't it? That is where people can get provisions when they're in a time of crisis and need. But when we look at the man in our passage, he had no means to support himself. So that was an acceptable way for him to look after himself. But when you think of it, he went there every day asking for alms. And what he really was just asking for, just to support him in that situation, he accepted that was his lot, as all his life, that's all he ever knew, and that was it. There's nothing else that he was expecting. As long as you gave him some money, he was happy. But God wanted to do so much more for him. God wanted to completely change his condition. He got more than he bargained for, which I always find that's what God's like, isn't he? He always gives you more than what you bargained for, more than what you asked for. Sometimes, though, I think we settle for less than what God's got for us, just like that man. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. We just don't even, it's not even in our equation. We just accept this is it. There's an American theologian called William Sanford Lasor says this: it's not the church's business in this world to simply make the present condition more bearable. The task of the church, we are the church, is to release here on earth the redemptive work of Christ. When I read that, I just thought that was amazing. You see, the lame man's request to Peter and John was what he asked everybody, every day, every hour. Because he wasn't just there at the time for people going to prayer. He was there in the morning, right up until evening. And this man was around 40 years old. And you know what? I realised that man, I don't think we ever found out his name, would have been there asking for alms when Jesus would walk past going to the temple only a couple of weeks prior to that. I thought that was quite amazing. Now I can see your faces and you think, well, if Jesus walked past them a couple of weeks ago asking for alms, why did Jesus not heal him? Good question. Because Jesus did. Because God's timing is just as important as his will. And God chose to heal the lame man through Peter and John for his greater glory. What if that person that you come across on your way is for you to step out and pray for their healing? What if the Father has chosen you to be the person to pray for that person for their healing? Isn't that a great honour? What a privilege. See, the lame man was just saying, have pity on me. In other words, can I have some money? And it was okay for the lame man to expect something from Peter and John. But he deceived much more than a monetary donation, which he would have been happy with. And of course, he got more than he bargained for. Silver and gold I do not have. Peter's response is even more interesting in view of what we heard in the previous chapter last week about believers sharing their property. You see, the money had stopped being the most important thing. There was a new power in their lives, Peter and John. They had a transformation, a new kind of life that they had discovered. And what Peter did had become just a natural response. See, sometimes people might come to us and they present themselves one way, but really what they're just searching for is God. There's a story I read in a book recently, and it was actually Alan Scott's Scattered Servants book, and it was two guys from Coleraine Coast Vineyard, Cosby Coast Vineyard in Coleraine. And they were, and the two guys, they were just doing their normal stuff. They'd went out to the pub and they were drinking, having a beer, and they were just discussing whatever. And these two girls had come in. And the girls had made it very clear, they went, just scanning the audience, yeah, we're fine. And the two girls were just coming in, and they were just looking to get drunk and have sex. So don't care how that happens, we're just going to get drunk and have sex. That's how they presented themselves. And these guys were, they'd caught their attention. But they said, well, can I tell you what we're up for tonight? We're up to give people hope. And I don't know what happened in all of that conversation, but when the girl said, got one of the guys come out and talk to me more about outside, well, she was having a wee cigarette. So they did that, and out there, she was managing to tell them about who Jesus is and about all the transformation that happened in their lives. And the next thing, those girls went to Alpha and then started going along to church services. See, they thought what they wanted was inoculation. No, inoculation, that was me. Intoxication! And sex, but that really wasn't what they wanted. You know, they were just broken, and God stepped in and redeemed them. Jerry was kept saying to me this morning, Jerry's in a small group, and he said, remember and tell me when the jokes are, and I'll laugh. I said, oh, I've not got any jokes. It'll not be planned. Anyway, here we go. Back to our story. Okay, that's what I want for Falkirk Vineyard, is in our everyday, natural, supernatural, we just see what God's doing and join in with him. That we'd recognise what we carry and step out in faith. That we are carriers of hope. Because if you love Jesus, if you've given your heart to Jesus, then you have that hope in you. We are carriers of hope. We are hope bearers. We carry the hope for people's brokenness. We carry hope for people's sickness. We carry hope for people who are desperate. Those girls were just desperate. We are hope bearers to the world. That's who we are. That's who God says we are. And our job is just to see what the Holy Spirit's doing and join in with him. Just calling it out and naming it with boldness. Stepping out in faith. We just speak out the words in faith, seeing and recognise already what the Father is doing and just partnering with him. Sometimes we put so much weight and expectation on us to get it right and not get it wrong and do this and do that, when really it's not about us, right? It's just about us partnering what we see the Holy Spirit doing and then just going for it. See, they knew what they... Wait a minute, missed a bit. They, meaning Peter and John. It takes time, obviously, to do that. So we have to take time to build up our faith and practice. See, Peter and John didn't have any money, but they did have the presence of God. You all have the presence of God. The presence of God dwells in each and every one of you. Not because you're worthy, not because you're good, not because you pray, not because you do all the right Christian things, just because God loves you. And as soon as you become a Christian, God's Spirit rests and remains in you. He goes wherever you go. So you know you carry the presence of God. Sometimes we forget that when we go into situations and we can come quite fearful or frightened. No. What is in you is much greater than any other situation outside there. We are hope bearers. So let's look at Peter's amazing prayer. Actually, before we look at that, let's look at Acts 3:3. It says this. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. And they said, look at us. Now, I wonder, why did Peter and John stop and look at him this time? Because he too would have walked past many times going to the temple at 3 o'clock. But for this time, they stopped. And not only that, they stopped and they looked at him. And then they asked the man to look at him. What could they see? What was it that was different? I believe in that moment, Peter simply joined in with what he saw the Holy Spirit doing. Peter and John looked at the man's eyes. You see, stopping and looking in his eyes. Look, he wouldn't have been expecting that, because that's never what happened. In his 40 years of living, and in 40 years or so, getting taken to the temple gates, and people never stopped to speak to him, or it's not recorded anyway, and looked at him. And even getting the man to look at him, it was treating him that he was important. They were showing him that he was loved. They stopped and looked into his eyes. They noticed him. Why? Because God noticed him. And they were just patterning up what God was doing. So, what was Peter's amazing prayer? Let's have a look. In Acts 3:6, it says this. And Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. And then he prayed. Are you ready for it? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's it. So all yous out there who think, I can't go down the front and pray for people, or I can't go out and pray for people. That wasn't hard, was it? It's in Jesus' name is where the power is. It's not us. It's nothing that we're saying of ourselves that makes anything happen. We are just a vehicle that God has chosen to use us. He wants to use each and every one of us. So many times we disqualify ourselves. And I'm right there. I'm chatting ahead. I'm leading the way, but I'm trying. So many times we disqualify ourselves being able to be used. Or, this is my one, I overcomplicate it. Just do what I see the Father doing and not put my spin on it. That's what I'm trying to work on. It was not about Peter's prayer. It was all about the name Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus. That's where his power is. Peter was a man of prayer. He was going to the temple to pray, right? So we know he's a man of prayer. But this wasn't something Peter did in a whim. He did it under the specific promptings of the Holy Spirit. See, when you see God doing something and then you act, something amazing will happen. Peter said, what I have, I give you. He gave the lame man the power in the name of Jesus, but he couldn't give it unless he already knew what that was in his own life. We need to cultivate that kind of hearing from God, seeing what God is doing, stepping out of it. And that is why small groups are fantastic. Because small groups is like small people. Small amount of people that you know, you get to know them well, it's a safe place, so you get to practice there. That's the whole point of doing ministry time and hearing from God and giving prophetic words and everything. So we do it in a small group, which is a safe environment. Then you come to church, it's a bit scarier. There's a few people maybe you don't know so well. So you get used to doing it there. And then, guess what happens? We get to go outside. Isn't that amazing? We go outside to people we don't know. Now, some people might think that's great because we don't know them. And other people might think, oh, it's because we don't know them. Anyway, doesn't matter. That's our job. Our job is practice. Small group church out. So get yourselves in a small group. Or you have to practice here. It's a wee bit scarier. But your choice. I've got your song. I'm not going to sing to you, all right? Right. We receive this type of power by spending time in prayer. And our own personal prayer, and in prayer together in small groups in church. And knowing how to recognize what the Father is doing. And immediately his feet and bones, the lame man, received strength after, in the name of Jesus. Strength did not come to the lame man until Peter said, rise up and walk. And not even then until he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Then they all entered the temple together, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, as soon as the man was healed, he did three things. Did you notice? One, he followed the disciples and he went into the temple, went to church. Immediately, he used what he had given him, walking and leaping. and then it was praising God. Church, here's what you've got, praise God. Fantastic. Now, if you just think about this for a minute, right, so what happened there, that man's need was met. He was transformed. But it has a wider impact, doesn't it? Much wider than just that man. His life is transformed forever. Fantastic, praise God. That's what happens when we go into the street. The people you speak to, their lives might be transformed, they might be healed, but it goes further than that. It's much more than just that person that you're praying for. So be bold, have faith, step out, because that's how we are going to bring transformation to Falkirk, to Cameron. Not us, the church, the global church, the wider church. We've got to do our part, and our part is going out there. Anyway, I digress. Here we go. Oh, I've got a bit excited there. Did you do that? Anyway, that man was, remember, he was there 40 years, going to the same place every day, 40 years. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew that that was a guy who was lame from birth, couldn't walk. And now look at him. Here he is, walking for the first time. Those shriveled up limbs finally got inflated and changed, and people saw the breaking in of the kingdom of God. That's the impact that it has. That's the impact it has if we step out in faith and share what we have, share what we carry. We're just sharing it. We're just sharing our story. We're just telling people about our encounter with Jesus. It is quite simple. I was going to say, it is quite scary. I can understand that. But the more you do it, it's less and less scary. When you did something for the first time, when you were riding a bike, it was quite scary, wasn't it, when you took those stabilizers off and you're riding your bike? But the more you did it, practice. Now you can go racers, or people love mountain biking and things like that. So you've got to practice something. And at the beginning, it can be scary, but remember, God's with you. And the more you do it, the less it gets less scary. Here we go. Oh. Because when you meet Jesus, when you introduce people to Jesus, lives get changed forever. The healing of this man gave Peter an opportunity to preach another sermon that points to Jesus. That's, we get to share the gospel because of what the Holy Spirit has shown you. Where there is demonstration of kingdom power, there will always be a declaration of the kingdom of truth. Jesus comes to demonstrate and declare the kingdom. In Acts, we consistently see miracles. You went over and worshipped. No, I think it was Andrew, actually, to be fair. In Acts, we constantly see miracles accompanied by preaching. The miraculous opens people's eyes to the love of God. The gospel shows them how to receive it into their lives. So when we see God move miraculously, it's just an open door to share the gospel, the good news. Peter and John weren't anyone special, really. It was just they know whose name there was power in. And they pointed the crowd to Jesus. We can all do that, right? Thank you, Georgia. What I would like to see here in Falkirk Vineyard is that we, as scattered servants, we would gather together here on a Sunday to build each other up, to support each other, to encourage one another, and then to go out. To go out and do the things that Jesus did and the apostles. To pray for people where we are. So wherever you're natural, where you go to supermarkets, the school gates, your work placement, in the office, on a train, in the streets, walking the door, wherever you are, that's your God assignment. That's your assignment. It's not people necessarily on the platforms who go out and do all that stuff. It's we all get to play. And we've all got God assignments. Alan Scott uses the phrase scattered servants to describe the church in his book called Scattered Servants. He says it this. I know, I thought it's funny too. Scattered servants is a movement of people empowered by the Holy Spirit and sent to bring life to cities. When they show up in the city, carrying hope for the city, everything changes and captives are released. He also says this: broken cities need a new reality and a tentative story. Broken cities don't just need culturally relevant churches. Broken cities need churches to show up beyond the building. And I would like to rephrase it like this: Falkirk needs a new reality, an alternative story. Falkirk doesn't just need culturally relevant churches. And Falkirk needs the church to show up beyond the building. The task of Scattered Servant is not to question how God moves, but to move with him as he moves. And our role is just to go after Jesus with everything we've got. I believe that's what God is calling this church to do, is to go out there and make a difference in Falkirk. I believe that's the transformation of Falkirk, Camlin, Brighton, Pullman, wherever you are, will happen. We are just to be God's hands and feet. And God is looking for ways to help us connect with his purpose for their lives, for people's lives out in the community. God's inviting the community to take a spiritual journey from their pain, from their brokenness, from their abuse, from their abandonment, from their isolation, from their fear, and bring them into a close connection with him. That's with God. And he chooses to use us to be his hands and feet. Now, the Father is doing lots of great things in our church, but he also wants to do great things outside the church. We just need to learn how to partner with him. In fact, I would say the future of this church depends on it. Because that's how will they know about Jesus if we don't go and tell them? Now, it's great having such church service of worship. It's amazing. Holy Spirit is fantastic. But we cannot keep it to ourselves on a Sunday. We need to take what we know, the goodness of God, and take it out and share it with people we meet. That odd conversation. You know, like sometimes you say, I don't know how God highlights people. Well, I'll give you a wee tip. Top tip. See how there's sometimes, I'll take a supermarket, for example. There might be something in a supermarket, and you do not know them. You don't know them from Adam and Eve, things like that. But there's something about them. And I use the word attractive, but I don't mean good looks. I just mean something about them. I would suggest that is a prompting from the Holy Spirit. That your next question would be to God, what is it you'd like me to say to that person? What is it you'd like to show that person? And God will give you something to either say or do or go and initiate a conversation. And what will happen? I don't know. But that's where it starts. It's that prompting of somebody stands out to you, but you don't know why they stand out to you. Well, that's not you, is it? Because he didn't really do that. That is, I would say, that is the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So next time you're, wherever you are, walking the dog will be a great one. Anywhere where there's people that you don't know, asking God to show you something. Somebody will pop out and look different to you. I will encourage you to go over to that person and just start talking to them, asking God, what do you want me to say to that person? Don't be weird, though. That is not allowed. Right. So this is how the church works, by lost people finding new life in Jesus, right? That's how it works. It's God's task to build the church. And it's our task just to proclaim the King and his kingdom. The kingdom comes as we go. Alan Scott, the book that Alan Scott also had this thing in the book. And when I read it, I really felt it was a word for us. So I'm going to share it with you just now. It says this: you are my children, and I have given you good things to share. That's your story. As you follow me, you will encounter people who are far from me and who are fighting for faith, struggling in marriages, longing for healing, wondering if I'm alive. That's God, obviously. And as you meet them, share what I give you for them. That's just what I said, right? Don't worry if it feels like you have nothing to offer. My pleasure, that's God's pleasure, is sending you empty and bringing you back full, because something amazing will happen to you when you step out and share what God has put on your heart for that person. The kingdom always comes as a church goes out. So, that's our task this week, our homework this week, is to go out and see what is it the Holy Spirit is doing where you are. How can you partner with the Holy Spirit this week? How can you join in with what he's doing? Kenny, do you want to come up?
Sorry, Kenny. Morning, guys. This morning, Andrew and Lorena just said to me, listen, could you maybe think of some things for ministry time? And I just want to encourage you that actually I didn't know what Lorena was speaking about this morning, and this just seems to tie right in with it. And the reason why I'm telling you that is not because I think I can hear from the Holy Spirit. It's because if this resonates with you this morning, I want you to take that as an encouragement that actually God does want to meet with you this morning, and just as a prompting to come forward. So the words that I got this morning were that this is a morning to ask and receive. Just like what Lorraine was talking about, it's the morning to ask and receive. And this morning there was two things. I feel that some of you have felt a spark in the past few weeks, a spark from the Holy Spirit, a spark in your faith. But the spark is like a smouldering of fire, and we don't want that to go. We want some of you to have a full-blown fire of the Holy Spirit. We want you to have that smouldering just burst into flames. And this morning I just would love to pray for you, if that's you, and that fire is going to start in your life right now. That actually just what Lorraine was saying, that we are going to have a massive fire. The Holy Spirit is just going to come upon you, and you're going to be out in Falkirk just shining with the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I had was that there's someone who has a longing to walk in the path that God has set for them. The picture that I saw was footprints left by paint on a pavement. When paint's on a pavement, it doesn't come off very easily. The storm, the rain, the snow cannot wash that away. So if there has been rain or snow or a storm in your life, it has not washed away God's footprint, God's plan for you. So this morning I just felt that God was saying that if you are still looking for that path that he has set out for you, it is still there. It's set in the pavement, it's in paint. And if you would love for us to pray for you this morning, we would absolutely love that. There's so many people here who would love to come forward and pray for you. So if either of those things are for you, just like I said at the start and what Lorraine's been talking about, this morning is a morning for asking and receiving. So the Holy Spirit is here this morning. We've already felt his presence. But if you've had a spark and you want it to turn into a full-blown fire, we would love to pray for you. And if you're looking for God's footprints, we would love to pray for you also.